So we begin the third chapter of Judges, and the first verse says, "Now these are the nations which the Lord left to prove Israel by them, even as many of Israel as had not known all the wars of Canaan." He's going to name the nations that were left, the nations that were left to prove Israel by them. Israel was going to be proved in several ways. They were going to be proved to see whether they could remain faithful to God, or would remain faithful to God. They were also going to be proved to see whether they would continue to resist these nations enough to maintain possession of this land. And he says that rather specifically in the second verse, "Only that the generations of the children of Israel might know to teach them war, at the least such as before knew nothing thereof." Now, this is a little difficult to know all of the ramifications of this second verse. But one of the purposes of leaving these other nations in was that the generations of Israel might know to teach them war, at least such as knew nothing thereof. So that there were some of these Israelites who had not known all the wars of Canaan. Evidently they had not been involved in the warfare of Canaan enough to really know how to conduct war. So one reason for leaving these other nations was so that they could know to teach them war. They could learn how to conduct themselves in warfare. Now, this may be simply because they had strayed from God to the point that they were now going to have to continue in warfare in order to preserve the nation. Had they originally driven all these other nations out, they could have been a much more peaceful type people. They could have eradicated the need for war. But no, they didn't do this. They left those other nations in, so now they had to learn war. They had to know how to conduct themselves in war. So those nations that were still in the land then would serve as teachers for them. That is, they would have to be continually defending themselves against them, and so they'd have to know war, have to learn war. Some others reason this along this line also, that since they now had forsaken God to the extent of not driving these other nations out, then God wasn't going to be with them in their battles as he had been before. And so consequently now, instead of them having victories with God leading them and God giving them the victory, they would have to learn the true tactics of warfare. They would have to be true soldiers in their own right, because it was up to them without the help of God to be able to conduct these wars. In verse 3, he begins to name these nations that were left. Namely, 5 lords of the Philistines, and all the Canaanites, and the Sidonians, and the Hivites that dwelt in Mount Lebanon, from Mount Bel-Hermon, even unto the entering in of Hamath. According to 1 Samuel 6:17, the 5 lords of the Philistines were probably Ashdod, Gaza, Ascalon, Gath, and Ekron. Now, 3 of these cities had been recently defeated by Judah, but it seemed that they did not completely eradicate the people so that they were able to come back and rebuild, and probably with the aid of the other 2 cities were able to reestablish themselves as major cities in this area of the Philistines. And he names the Sidonians, which would be in the area of Sidon, and the Hivites that dwelt in Mount Lebanon. And then he names their borders from Mount Bel-Hermon under the entering in of Hamath. Mount Bel-Hermon was probably Mount Hermon, or a city located very close to Mount Hermon. And the entering in of Hamath then was near the city of Hamath, which is on further north on the Orontes River, and it formed one of the Syrian border cities. So after naming the nations that were left in the area of Canaan, in verse 4, he again states one of the purposes for them being left, "And they were to prove Israel by them, to know whether they would hearken unto the commandments of the Lord, which he commanded their fathers by the hand of Moses." They were left there to prove Israel, to see whether Israel would actually follow the commandments of the Lord, to see whether they would forget God, let God grow weak in their memory, and consequently then it would be a means of knowing whether or not they were going to follow God or they were going to follow the nations round about them. We have a similar thought given concerning the New Testament church in 1 Corinthians 11, verse 19, where he says, "For there must be also heresies among you, that they which are approved may be made manifest among you." That is, the church itself today is going to have heresies, those that would teach false doctrine, those that are really not truly converted Christians, they're going to be among them, and they will simply then make those that are true Christians be known. The true Christian will stand up against it. The true Christian will not yield to this false doctrine. The true Christian will hearken to the commandments of the Lord. And consequently then, he will shine out among these false teachers as a true jewel of God. And so that same principle was used during the time of the judges with these foreign nations located in Canaan. And it's a way that God has of proving those that are truly his own. We're going to conclude at that point for this time. Till next time, this is N.C. Crouch saying, goodbye, friends.